All right, you guys, I'm going to first start off on We See News Now, which is my other radio show. Okay, just a second. And I want to say good evening to everyone here on We Speak News Now. This is your host, Alita, and we're going to be combinating here, moving around a little bit, so you guys be patient over on that end while I get this other end going at the same time.
And okay. Just go Facebook Live last.
That's right. Mr. Harper.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a very soft voice, so what I want everyone to do is, I want everyone, when he's speaking, please do not talk, because you've got to hear him. What's going to happen is a lot of people are going to be on the line, but we have to have where he can speak and get this information out, okay? So we're going to wait till after he finished talking.
With me a box. Give me one of those plastic boxes.
Hold on. Give me a second. So while he's talking,
okay, forget it.
We have to be quiet just a little bit so everybody can hear him.
Take this off the hook.
Are y'all still there? You're gone.
You have dialed a feature access code for a feature.
Just call back in.
Okay, wait a minute. Just wait.
You're all alive.
Just wait. I'm going. I'm going to do it.
Find something to put that down with. You got a clip or something?
No, stop. Just let me do this.
I need a clip to hold it down so you don't have to put the phone back on the hook anymore. So you can have the speaker directly next to the microphone. It gives you better sound quality. I'm resolving the issue.
Pumpkin, don't you do that because you... Hello? Stop. Let me get him back on. Pumpkin, just let me do this. This is what I've been used to doing. Why are you trying to look up everything? In just a second, gotta have everything put together like I need it.
You're live on Facebook.
Oh, am I?
I think so.
Pulling my dog.
Hey.
Hey, ma'am. How are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We almost ready to go. Give one more. I'm trying to get everything set up for you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I got everybody on there. All right. That right there. And now go back over here. All right, we're getting ready to go live. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Why are you going live if I got the mic in my hand?
Oh, okay, you got it?
No.
All right, you guys, let's start it. I am your host, Anita McCall, and this is Can We Be Frank Show here on Universal Collective Network. And what's wrong?
Are you set up with the microphone?
I don't know. Can you guys hear? No, you can't hear me on here.
You need to stop the
live stream.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on the phone, but you need to stop the live stream.
Okay, give me one second.
Okay, I'm going to go back into it.
You want to make sure you... I know, wasn't that something? There we go. And we have our two old ladies on the couch?
One.
One old lady tonight? Okay. All right. We have tonight, we have Mark Harper of MJA Investigations with the Marcus Merritt story. And he's going to give us an update. But what we want everyone to do, what I would like for you to do, Mr. Harper, welcome to the show. I would like for you to kind of go back a little bit in the story for people who have not heard the story before. Just a little bit, and then come to the update, if you don't mind.
Okay.
You can go ahead.
Yes, my name is Mark Harper. I'm with State Investigation. We've been investigating the death of Marcus Merritt, and during our investigation, we found a lot of things that put up red flags for the fact when he was found deceased. There was no, they claim that he put a gun in his mouth and shot himself and committed suicide. Okay. During that, they've done no autopsy, they've done no gunshot residue test if he even fired a gun. And they more or less took the word of the estranged wife and her parents. And we've had experts look at all the information that we have, and some of it's very confusing, contradicting, and their own police reports. It's like they don't talk to each other. And some of the conclusions that's on the report are just outlandish.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And after our expert looked at all the information we had, including the video of the autopsy, they all acted during its funeral. His hands were showing. There was no latex glove on his hands. But it's right in the report when they examined the body that there's a blue latex glove on his right hand. And so I looked over the video again. And it wasn't blue now because of the decon. But there was a glove on Mr. Harris's right hand. And we're trying to figure out, after the guns people and everything, how that glove placed on his hand and why. But we haven't come up with that yet. Because, as I said, at the funeral, his hands were visible. There was no latex glove. So, at what point and when was that latex glove placed on his right hand? As I said, I find kind of odd in their own autopsy report. It says they see no entrance or exit wound and no injuries to his right hand. Once again, they emphasize the right hand. Now, the only thing we can figure out is that somebody might have placed that glove on the right hand to protect the gunshot test, which wasn't done. It was like somebody knew Mr. Harris' body someday would be extinct. Now, another thing you can find on the autopsy is there was one of our experts says there's bruising on Mr. Merrick's right shoulder. And by his analysis, it was like somebody grabbed him in the right shoulder and took pressure point below your clavicle bone. And they said that it was like he was being held down by his right shoulder and they dug in their thumb through the clavicle bone, which there is a pressure point. And then another thing that came up on the talk screen, which is very unusual. He had all these mixtures of different kinds of drugs in his system. One being what we think could have been the fatal drug, was fentanyl. Now, after being in the ground for 3 years, the fentanyl registered off the chart. So if you go back 3 years to the time of his death, it would have been three times that amount. So our experts say at the time, Mr. Merrick was incapacitated. He couldn't defend himself. Now, here's another thing. In the death room photo, there is the death gun. In one photo, it shows the death gun half covered by a sheet or blanket. And then another photo, it is completely uncovered. But we don't know which photo came first and which is the actual photo in the way they found the death gun. That's not been explained. Wow. And then once again, Mr. Merrick didn't have done it after sticking a gun into his mouth like they claim and shot it go. There's no way he could have moved the gun or covered it up halfway or uncovered it. And so there's another red flag. But the main thing being is Mr. Merrick was not a drug user. And we understand that the estranged wife and her mother is in the medical field, and fentanyl, as a lot of people know, can only be gotten by a prescription or somebody that has access to that drug. And so there is another big red flag. And then, number one, right off the bat, the investigation was botched because the estranged wife and her parents called the chief of police of Leonville, Chief Noel. another red light. And then another thing is, that's never been explained. First off, from the scene, in-laws told him that they had touched the body, but they don't say how the body was touched. Did they move it in a different position, or did they just take his pulse? And that's never been explained. Another thing that's never been explained, and that is beyond me, Keith Noel, the statement to the Louisiana Swiss, that he walked down the death gun before even testing it. After the fact, when Mr. Merritt was discovered on June 2nd, 2016, they went ahead and tested the gun, and they didn't get a positive result. Now, another upsetting thing on the autopsy. Okay? They didn't secure Mr. Merritt's body as they were putting out the coffin to place him on the autopsy table. And it was so bad that his body wasn't secured that when they were lifting him up to put him on the autopsy table, boots came off and fell into the sink. Okay, when you have a body like this and you don't have it secured, you're losing vital evidence that might have been there. Now, another thing, it upset me greatly. Matter of fact, it took me almost 2 years to tell Miss Floyd. They took a, what they call a bone cracker, and they cracked his rib and chest plate. Okay, on a normal autopsy, that's within procedure. But after being buried after 2 years, and they done that, there was no evidentiary value because they done nothing after they cracked him open. They just sewed him right back up. And that bothered me. Well, it bothered a lot of people because it was uncalled for. Another thing is, on the autopsy video, there's no sound. There's nobody taking notes. And you will see where they are retrieving something from Mr. Merritt's head. But, once again, we do not see what that object was put in the tray. So we have no way of knowing what it was. We don't know if it was a bullet. We don't know what it was. And they claimed it was a sexual bullet. And then when they went and tested the gun, they cannot positively identify that that weapon fired the bullet that supposedly killed Mr. Merritt. And this is, well, it's just beyond belief. If you would read some of the police reports, they contradict whoever. Mr. Merritt, as they claimed, was supposed to commit suicide by putting a gun in his mouth and pulling the trigger. But yet, in their own report, it states he's no injury of entering or exit wound and no injury to the right hand. Now,
still
we would like to know, how is this possible if he committed suicide? It's just not possible. And once again, I said, their own report found in the exit. And so, I had a contact down there who is working with us. I burnt that bridge because I was more or less doing his job and I wasn't getting any satisfaction. By what I was told, that they was going to conduct an investigation and there would be indictment. Well, there's stories to tell you that. And we didn't get no results from it. And so I put that bridge and decided, you know what, I've been a nice guy. Now it's time to do it my way. And as I say to the people of Leonville, Keith Noel should not be setting on that desk the copy of his statement to the Louisiana State Police. No matter what the situation is, that gun should have been preserved and put into evidence. It should not have been washed down.
Wow.
So that's where we stand now. What we want and what we're asking is not a cold war. We're asking for a death inquest or a grand jury.
Wow.
And that's what we're fighting for now.
Wow. I don't see why he's still there. I know that he's still there. He actually is still in that position. Check.
We don't understand.
Yeah.
Police been finished without pay.
Mm-hmm.
Written up. That's what I'm saying. I just can't explain why the state of Louisiana has been suspended.
Yeah.
And he admitted to wash down. Well, we might as well say he could have done critical evidence if he hadn't done that.
Exactly. Now, I have a question. You know what? My video keep going down. I don't know what Facebook's doing, but that's kind of weird. Anyway, now the situation with the blue glove.
Yes.
Now, I guess, is he right-handed or left-handed, Royce?
Right.
Okay. So, well, what was the need for it to have a glove on it? What was that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like they tried to detect evidence, but our question is, who is the person that put the glove on?
Yeah, and then if they were doing something, why didn't they take it off? Somebody sloppily took care of him is what when I'm hearing you talk and describe what you were describing, they were very sloppy in what they were doing. So like you were saying, a lot of evidence probably just got thrown away, wasted, not even observed or worked with or anything.
Yes, and see, that's another thing. Now, things like that can happen if you don't secure a body, but they didn't have the correct problem. They didn't take what I call a shot back and sweep up what fell to the floor, and they did not do that to the thing where his boot fell off it. So, without doing that, yes. They probably did lose evidence that was crucial to this case.
Uh huh. Wow.
It sounds like to me that person who killed him cousin or some kind of friend of the
I hear a lot of noise in the background. I don't know what it is. But it did the last time.
But it sounds like to me that is relative to death.
Or it was him himself who did.
Well, that's the thing. Even what's in question is Mr. Merritt, his position. You can't do a 180 turn. Okay, he's leaning up against this little dresser. And his head is up, okay? Our expert says the only way that could have happened is rigor mortis had already set in, so that meant Mr. Merritt had to be killed before the time they called it in. Because the law of gravity would have took over, his head would have been pinned down or to one side or another. It wouldn't be straight up like that. And left, rigor mortis had already set in.
Wow. So let me ask you this. From what you saw, what is your assessment of when do you think he passed away? I mean, when did he think he was murdered? And I think that's it. I want to get your opinion on when do you think this happened? Kind of build up a scenario that you think would happen.
Well, I believe that, you know, I can't, you know, say all of the details of how it all came about, but just looking at everything and the way his body was positioned, well, put it this way, we know his body was safe. There's no question, because you can't do a 180 parallel if you shoot yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing of it is, with his head being up, like, now, veterinary talking to somebody, okay, he would have been dead 3 to 4 hours before he called in. And then about the bruising, same way on the bruising. Sometimes bruises don't show up.
Mr. Harper, wait just one second. I don't know who is on the line who's doing something, but it is very distracting. So can you either mute it and listen or what? Somebody is doing something. And then somebody has their what's name on because I'm hearing myself repeat it. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Harper. I apologize.
Well, it's okay. I've been involved in 328 outcomes. And I got a little bit deaf in the corner when I was doing undercover work because I wasn't learning everything. And so I've seen every kind of death you can imagine. And to me, this death doesn't make no sense whatsoever. Take the blood spatter alone. That means, since we're going in two different directions, Mr. Merritt had an injury before and after. That's the only way to explain it. So if you commit suicide, blood spatter is not going to go in two different directions. It's just not possible. And so that's another big red flag. And then the bruising on the shoulder. That's another thing. And see, that's what people don't understand, that a lot of internal bruises, okay, won't show up for 3 or 4 days. And I believe that, for example, they re-looked at the body or they wouldn't see something wrong. So once again, we're going back to the investigative process. No autopsy, no gunshot residue. And it's like I said, it's just not following procedure. Even though they claim it's a suicide, you still have to do things within procedure. And they didn't do it. They just took the strange wife and her parents' word for it, and it's closed. Okay, here's another thing. It's a dead giveaway. The strange wife and the in-laws was questioning the family and friends, and they claimed that Mr. Merritt was suicidal. This wife, who is the mother of Mr. Merritt, was not questioning.
Mm-hmm.
The family was questioning about Mr. Merritt's mental state.
Mm-hmm.
The strange wife and the parents were, oh, he was suicidal. He didn't do it. He didn't do it that. So that is a planned interview because, once again, this was one of her family who interviewed. So how can they put down on paper that this is what happened when they don't interview all the parties that's involved? And what I say, I don't know if the police know this or not, but Ms. Roy's down there during the Christmas holiday. And everything in her mind is fine. Marcus is asking if she will tell, and so on and so on. And then another thing, each expert says a person who's going to commit suicide was his old girlfriend. All back in the days. And so this is all, but it's all circumstantial evidence. But from everything I've seen and read, it's a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm throwing plans away, but it is a homicide, and I have proof that will go to court, will go to a hearing, whatever.
Wow.
And like I said, once again, when they broke him open, they didn't do nothing. They just sewed him right back up. So what was the use of breaking him open? There was no use for it, no evidence or value. It was like they were pissed off because they had to do this.
Yeah. You know what? That could be it. You got echo? Hold up. You hear that real good? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Now, it's just so weird. I'm having all the issues with this show tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Mute everybody but Mark.
Yeah, I can mute everybody.
We can't hear. Yeah, so we can hear him and all the feedback or whatever somebody is doing, so we can hear him and you.
Yeah. Mark, talk for a minute.
Yeah, I'm here. And,
okay, I got you.
So go ahead with the question.
Yes. No, I was trying to mute everybody. I just needed to know where you were on my dashboard.
Muted.
Okay.
Unmuted.
I had to unmute myself. Okay, I'm muting everybody. Sorry, y'all. I got to mute you out because there's too much background noise. Okay. Now, so if you guys can get to court, what goes next after the procedure goes, they say, yes, okay, we're going to take this to a grand jury. What would be the next step?
All parties involved would be called to a grand jury. And here's the thing about death in front of the grand jury. You cannot plead the Fifth Amendment.
Wow.
Every question, or you're in contempt of court, and the judge can put you in jail.
Wow.
And so, see, that's a good thing about a death inquest and a grand jury. You can't get up there and say, oh, I'm losing the Fifth Amendment, da 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 da. You can't do that. You have to answer the question, or you go to jail. Contempt of court.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, what is your estimated time that this can take place? I mean, I know you don't know because you're still at that stage where you're trying to get it to that point. But what are you seeing in the future, in other words?
Well, myself, and, you know, maybe I'm not thinking clearly on this, but it should have already been done. For the simple fact, okay, once they turned over a lot of the files, of course, we found out that the estranged wife was given a polygraph test. Anything came into question within May 2016 at a podcast until May 25th, 2016, and they didn't telegraph, I believe it was May 16th or 17th.
Uh-huh.
And both polygraphs came back inconclusive.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If anybody knows things about polygraph, conclusive means there's not a definitive answer whether the person is telling the truth or lying. And then another thing, if you go to a psychologist that's involved in crime, they will tell you with two polygraph tests being inconclusive, that person that took the polygraph test is an habitual liar.
Wow.
No question about it.
So, in a way, now that we understand that polygraph tests are not admissible in court, this would be a wonderful time for it to be admissible in court.
Well, they use it as an investigative tool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, to me, now, if I was to have an investigation, after both of those results being conclusive, okay, I
stress test sometimes will tell you a lot more than all the other stuff.
Exactly.
And that wasn't done. So her emphasis is instead of a polygraph test, you need to take a stress test.
Now, would that work now? If you were to do her now, if you would do a polygraph on her now and a stress test, would that show something?
Oh, yes. Once you commit a crime and we're trying to cover it up, if you done know what happened and everything, and it's not going to go away. It's going to show that it's deceptive. It's going to show this, that, and the other. And matter of fact, on stress test, it's going to show what questions where they were stressed out and what questions that they wasn't stressed out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And see, that tells a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does.
How could that happen? What would have to come from a law enforcement person to request that?
Yes.
Would.
And beyond all of this, this sounds strange, it sounds like a conspiracy or whatever. But we have, during all the Freedom Information Act filed and everything, got what we called on this time when they turned over everything, there is a death certificate of an estranged wife's first husband who died in a one car accident, and right on the death certificate it says no witness. Now, when we done the Freedom of Information Act, we didn't have no information about the estranged wife. It had to deal with any paperwork that had Mr. Aaron's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like somebody in that office, we don't know what office, what police agency, they put that in there, paperwork that we can see. Now, why they done this? I have only one conclusion why they done that. They were trying to tell me that Black Lewis
that's what it sounded like to me. When you said that, that's what went to my mind, was the Black Widow.
No, see, Mr. Merrick didn't even know her so how is that death certificate relevant?
Yeah. How long ago was it that she passed away? I mean, he died before she married Mr. Merrick.
That I'm not really sure on. I'd have to actually look at the death certificate, but it was just strange that they slipped that in there, because we never asked her anything. Like that, never asked anything about her. She paid the work with her name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was strange in itself. And like I said, it was like we had a little angel in there trying to push things along and trying to direct us in the right direction.
Wow. That is crazy. That is so crazy. And I really, to my heart, hope and pray that you guys can get this off, get his voice out there. When I say his voice, him speaking out and saying, this is what happened to me. This is what I would like for you guys to do. And put her, if that's where she belongs, then that's where she belongs. I mean,
there's no question.
No.
I don't know who edited it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it came about, but there's no question with everything I've seen in the box screen, way down, and most way up I've been done, they skip stages of the autopsy, very sloppy, not recorded, no notes taken, just the body. And see, what I mean by picturing the body is, as you're lifting a person out of their coffin, you put a sheet or a canvas around them, so any evidence that's on that body is going to fall into that sheet or that canvas, so you can retrieve it and analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I don't understand. And then I was told that they don't have the experience in the body. The Louisiana State Police would have well-trained people to be able to carry this out the way it should have been carried out. And see, as I'm watching the video, I'm going, well, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. I mean,
Wow. You know what? This makes a great story. This makes a. I'm wishing that all of this can end and somebody goes to jail. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm wishing that so bad that all that Ms. Royce and the family has been going through, that it can be, it can come to a stop, and that ideal that somebody goes to jail. Now, this is like, now let me ask you, have you, I know Ms. Royce has, and I'm trying to get Ms. Royce networked with someone else who just got their story on investigative discovery. I don't know if you know about Victor White's story. Yeah, well, he's got his story already on it. It comes on August the 6th on Investigative Discovery. And I was explaining to Ms. Royce how this man was everywhere. Every time you said something, he was out and about. So it took him all this time to get to where his story is actually going to be told on Investigative Discovery. This story definitely needs to be told on Investigative Discovery. For sure.
Well, I've reached out to him.
You have?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, we were involved in a 6-9 special on the Moore Murray case up in New Hampshire. During that filming, we was even talking to the Hodges channel about that.
So what did they say? Decided not to have you in the show. That doesn't make any sense. Exactly. They sure did. Wow. Wow. So you've already reached out to them, but I think that with all this evidence, and I think once you guys can get somebody in jail, I think they would want to reconsider that story.
Well, I look at it this way. If you put the polygraph results they got in the same way, I would put her in the box that, which is an interrogation, but as a resident, call it the box. Now, though, Louisiana is close, but I know they can keep her for 48 to 72 hours.
And
nobody took it upon themselves to do that. But I'm saying if they would do that, if he knows anything, he's going to act like a
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And another thing about Chief Noel, if he knows anything, he's not always his intention, his livelihood, to cover up their crime.
Yeah.
And so I think myself, personally, Louisiana State Police shouldn't question him again. Somebody in the higher authority should question him.
That's true.
See how this all came about. Now, I will tell you this. The Parish District officer that showed up, that Chief Noel, based on, he can kick himself in the head for doing that. Just going by Noel, hey, I'm handling this, I know the family, da 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 da, because he's seen the blowback now. He's going, oh man, I shouldn't have done this. I should have, he should have.
Now, you know what, if it boils down to it, a lawsuit come about, that could fall on him, right? He could be part of it, right?
Well, now, I don't know how...
I mean, he'd have to testify that he was told to be sent away, but definitely
exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have to do that. But see, I don't understand how the man working of the same man in the state. But my understanding is his district, and so yeah, he might have known Chief Noel, and he might have done their purpose thing. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm not saying this 100% sure, but I believe Chief Noel told him it. And so it was like no big deal until the blowback started, and he's thinking, you know, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Wow. So you're at the point right now where now that we have all this information out here, you're at the point now where do you think there's time for lawyers to come in play or...
Well, I have heard from different sources that Ms. Royce might need a lawyer pushing forward, but once again, even with the lawyer involved in filing all this paperwork, I believe she's going to come up against the wall like we did for a lot of months.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this could have been avoided, but they tried to hide things. Number one, they said there was no doctor's report. Number two, they said there was no photo of this testimony. Well, then we found out that that was all a lie. And that's another thing. Why lie about it? Why don't they just say, hey, we can't throw that information at this time?
Exactly.
Ongoing investigation. But there's no ongoing investigation. We rule it a suicide. And another thing that was told Ms. Royce at the graveside. And the Americans can't assume that they wouldn't be doing this unless they suspected foul play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I take all the time and money, you know, that's what I'm saying. Somebody else and then police agency knows it wasn't a suicide, it was a homicide, mm-hmm. And they probably come to that conclusion, but everything we've seen, because that's the conclusion we've seen to that. We weren't satisfied with that. We gave it to experts to look at. We even had an expert do a book on all the ME reports. They've done a psychological assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And by the state police and Leonville's assessment does not match their assessment. Because it is planted for suicide. When Ms. Royce wasn't even interviewed. That, to me, that is one-sided, that is prejudicial, and very questionable why that took place. And that is, people have to realize, she is the mother of the victim, and she's not questioned.
Yep. It does.
And here's another good example. Okay, I know of a case where the arresting detective was not put on prosecution's list to testify. I've been involved in this 40-plus years. I have never seen that happen in a felony case before where the detective in charge was not called to testify for the prosecution. So what happened was the defense called him as a witness, and then they found out why the prosecution didn't want him on the witness stand, because the eyewitness different time.
Wow.
And the prosecution didn't want that to come out in court.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of red flags concerning Mr. Merritt's death, and by all rights, there should be. And it just mind boggles me that, okay, they say they're the experts, they've got the badges, they've got the schooling and everything, then why can't they see the same thing we see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
That makes sense. I hear you loud and clear. Now, were you willing to take any questions if someone has it? I can open a line to see if anybody has a question.
Yes.
Okay. Hello? Yes. Do you have any questions for Mr. Harper?
Who are y'all talking about?
Okay, we're talking about Mr. Merritt, Marcus Merritt of Leonville, who they claimed he had committed suicide, but the investigation company that we're talking with right now found some evidence that it wasn't suicide, it was homicide. So that's what we're talking about, and this is an update because we've had him on here before.
Yes, ma'am. I thought
that was
my children that got killed. My bad. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's fine. I'm going to put you back on mute, okay? All right. Do you have any questions? Hello?
Did everybody go away?
Hello? Do you have any questions? I guess they don't. Let me see. Let me get in someone else. Hello, do you have any questions or comments? Hello? I guess we're gone. Okay. Let's see here. Got another one.
Later.
Yes.
I would like to know when he said he was going to Texas. Did he say he was going by himself, or was he taking her with him?
Mr. Harper, you there?
Yeah. Okay, are you talking about was he taking an estranged wife with him?
Yeah, or was he going by himself?
No, he was going by himself. He had a new job that was set up, I believe, by a relative of his, and he had an old girlfriend there that they've been off and on, and his plans was move to Texas, work the job, get back with his old girlfriend. And see, I believe Mr. Merritt came to a point where he had enough and he was leaving her.
Uh-huh.
And another thing about what's strange about all this is she claims that on the day in question, before his death, they was talking to work out the visitation and all that for the children. And that's by her own admission. So the timing and everything, it just doesn't make sense if you want to say suicide. It don't make no sense at all.
No, I think that's murder. She murdered him.
Well, we can't come out and say she is the one, but
well,
we can come out and say it was a homicide. There is no question in my mind. There's no question in the expert's mind. We have a staff of 44. I believe 17 of them 44 has been involved in this investigation. And they all say the to come up with their own findings by the evidence I put before them. And so that way, let's say a defense attorney or whatever, if you're in court, can't point a finger and say, well, your boss pointed you in that direction. Then they can honestly say, no, he presented the evidence and it was up to us to come to our findings, not his findings.
Wow. Wow. Let me open it back up again. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm muted again.
You probably didn't want him to leave and go to Texas.
Well, you know, yeah, I believe let's put it this way. I'll go as high as a high schooler. I believe a person in high school with enough intelligence would look at all this and they come to the same conclusion. We believe, okay, here's the thing that didn't make no sense to us. She was going around telling men that if you screwed with her, she would set you on fire like she did a past boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that ex-boyfriend was interviewed during this investigation by Louisiana State Police, and we come to find out the estranged wife lied about that he received those burns from a grease fire at his place of employment.
Wow.
Again, that says a lot about her character. Now, why would she try to be intimidating these other men by using that story when it wasn't true?
Wow. That's crazy. Why would you want to say something like that when your husband has passed away? You have a husband prior to him that passed away. I would want to use those type of what it sounds like to me is she doesn't like being left alone. She's vindictive and vengeful. That's what it sounds like to me.
Anna. About the way she is. Miss Royce was supposed to have the grandkids, I believe it was for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In a matter of 4 or 5 days, she came and got the kids. Now, me, because she has control of the kids, that's like slapping Miss Royce in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And see, another thing I can say about Miss Royce, she has kept Marcus's children out of this mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't do that. But see, Miss Royce is very intelligent. And she understands the dynamic of families. And so she's not going to badmouth the estranged wife in front of her children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
They had a lady in Louisiana, they call her the Black Widow. She killed 3 or 4 of her husbands. And got the insurance money from all of them.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've seen cases like that. And see, that's another thing brings me to my brain, brings me to wondering, okay, they send the death certificate of the first husband. How do we know there ain't past death that she had an ultimate with that we have no clue about?
Exactly. So you would have to probably do an investigation on her personally to get that information, huh?
Well, that's the way it looks like. And matter of fact, that is in the works right now.
Wow.
We're going to use every avenue we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, Miss Royce will tell you, okay, when she contacted us, she said that if our results, suicide, she would have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when she starts sending us paperwork she had, I'm going, oh my God. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And how this was just all swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. Oh, he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? A lot of things would have been solved if they would have done a gunshot residue test.
Exactly.
And that would have told a lot. Now, that doesn't, just because they found gunshot residue on his hand doesn't necessarily mean he's the one that pulled the trigger.
That's right.
Oh, another thing on the autopsy. I didn't see it. and this was supposed to be a contact wound. He had the gun in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there would have been stippling. Stippling
mm-hmm.
is little black spots where the gas are released from the discharged weapon.
Mm-hmm.
There is no stippling on him whatsoever. And when I often interview Miss Joyce one time,
Roy,
she told me
mm-hmm.
that when she seen her son on the examiner's table,
mm-hmm.
that he was like he was asleep. She seen no injuries, no swelling, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, that's a tail sign. If you put a gun in your mouth, you're going to have swelling. And there's going to be hints of stippling. That's not the case here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, we get back to that damn blue glove and why did they place it there. The only explanation is they knew something was wrong. They knew he was right-handed. So they put that glove on his right hand just in case something happened and they would actually do a gunshot residue test.
Exactly.
And that's the only conclusion we can come up with. If there's another explanation, I would sure love to hear it, but I've looked in books, I've looked everywhere, and that's all it states is glove, or sometimes a lot of police, they use plastic bags and tape them around the wrist. Okay, that's to protect evidence. So somebody felt that there might be evidence on Mr. Merrick's right hand. And then another thing about their own report, they make an emphasis, no injuries on the right hand. And so even that in itself, we don't understand what they were trying to say.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I was listening so intently into what you were saying, Mr. Hoffer, that scared the crap out of me.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions? Does anybody else have any questions? Hey there.
What's wrong with his right hand? Why did he have on that blue glove? Nobody knows. That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah, we're trying to find out.
Wow.
Matter of fact, one of our staff members is in the middle of interviewing the attendees and Pastor Ford, who handled the burial and everything.
Wow.
See, when the blue glove could have been burned, but at the funeral, it was not on his hand.
Uh-huh.
So, did it get there, and how did it get there, and who put it there?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, that's interesting.
That's Alita. That's why he's emphasizing that glove.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like he said, Mark's hands are showing. When did the glove get on there?
So, the glove didn't get on there when, was it up? Okay, they exhumed him. That's when they found the glove on there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Mark is saying. But that's what I'm able to tell you. There was no glove on Mark's hand because, you know, I would have asked somebody, why do y'all have a glove on his hand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why he's emphasizing that.
Wow.
Up until the time I walked out of that church right before they closed that casket, I could see his hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So when did it get on there?
And it's after the fact. And why would you wait till now to put the blue glove on now? Why?
Well,
no, that's what you're missing.
Okay. Okay.
This glove had to have been placed on his hand. We don't know when. In between the church and the cemetery. We don't know when.
Oh.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. You're missing that. There was nothing on his hand. But when he was exhumed, and like Mark told you, it wasn't all blue anymore from what he could see on the video because it had been in the ground or what have you. When was that glove placed on his hand? Because it wasn't on there. Like I said, when I walked out of church,
before they closed it, there was nothing on his hand.
Somebody messed with his body.
Uh-huh.
That's what it sounds like. Somebody messed with his body, and there's probably no gunshot residue on his right hand, period.
Exactly. We all know the button.
That might have been one of the reasons why whoever put that glove on there get a definitive answer whether there was or wasn't.
Yeah.
And from everything I've seen, I don't think there was. And like I said, with him being incapacitated, matter of fact, I think one medical examiner said with a drug cocktail in his system, he could have been passed out 2 to 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, so anybody could have took his hand, put the gun in his mouth, and pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
See, my thing is, okay, the in-laws, when the first officer arrived on the scene, the in-laws was in the room. They had to be told to leave the room because they tried to tell their story to this first officer on the scene. And then come find out, they even told a lie on this officer, saying that when he came in the room, he said, well, Mr. Merritt was my friend. Well, come find out, this officer, Mr. Merritt, was friends. They was acquaintances. Like, they would see each other in town, like the store, gas station, whatever, and they'd say hello, and that was it. There was no friendship there. So why would the in-laws tell a lie like that?
Wow.
It was like to me, they didn't think that would be checked out.
Wow.
And it was checked out.
That's crazy.
And so to me, I think the estranged wife and her parents should all be separated, put in the box, and see what kind of stories they all tell. See if they match. And everything. Oh, here's another dead giveaway. While Miss Royce is on the phone with the estranged wife was supposed to be waiting more, doing that. She heard no noise in the background of a car, no keys, no car starting, no noise of her going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of the people that knows about cell phones, if you're in a car, no matter if you have the windows up or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there's still going to be noise of your car traveling down the road.
That's right.
Well, that was non-existent when Miss Royce was talking to her.
Wow.
And then plus there's discrepancies on when she actually left the hospital that day. She claims one time, and her supervisor claims another. Well, I believe I would have to take the supervisor's word over the estranged wife.
Exactly. Man, that is messed up. And it's just so weird because, see, that's the bad part of coming from these small towns where everybody knows everybody. And because everybody knows everybody, a lot of things that need to be looked at and investigated, it's not properly investigated. And when it's properly investigated, it has to be somebody from the outside. But
that's what we want. We want somebody from the outside.
And see, Louisiana is so funny with their rules and their policies about, you know, outside, and it was purposely done so that all the killings that they can get away with, because they don't like you to have an outside lawyer out of state unless they're licensed to practice in Louisiana. So Louisiana has put themselves almost like a little bubble where nobody can do certain things that you can do in other states. You know what I'm saying?
A good example, one of the first red flags when we knew he was going to be exhumed, he made sure that I couldn't get a flight out to be down there because they already knew that I wanted to be in the room representing Mr. Merritt's family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made it so I couldn't get a flight out in time. Okay, to me, that's a red flag.
Yeah, that's a big red flag.
Because they knew my pedigree, they knew my history, they knew I traveled with the deputy coroner. No, they did not want me in that room.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact of it is, they skipped steps, and I wouldn't let them skip steps.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said, no, this has to be videotaped, it has to have sound, you have to take notes, you have to
Wow.
And so that's what I'm saying. They didn't want me in that room because the way I was seen in there, I probably would have got thrown out of the room because I would have been telling them, hey, this is what you do, and you're going to do this, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I believe no matter what your position is, you should do your job to 100% of your ability.
That's right.
And so I couldn't be in that room and keep my mouth shut. No, I could have done that. That's too many mistakes, too many steps to skip, and I wouldn't have went with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have called him on it. Hey, you got the video going with the sound. Nobody's taking notes. That's what I'm saying. It's just, to me, I don't know how they can call a state certified autopsy when you skip steps, there's no sound, and there's no notes taken. I just don't understand that whatsoever.
Because I believe, too.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. The Louisiana State Police, Leonville Department, they want to say, hey, there's no conspiracy, this, that, and the other. Well, then why are you doing things like this?
Mm-hmm.
Why does your police contradict each other?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, like I said, you couldn't have write this for Hollywood. You could, because you could come up with everything that they and see, no writer would be able to come to these wild conclusions because you can't make it up.
Yeah.
No way you can like this up, something like this up.
Yep, you're right.
And it happened, and they might get on board and come clean and rule this fight.
Yep. Wow. Mama X, are you still there?
I'm wondering if he had an insurance policy on him. But you know, a lot of women will kill men for insurance policies.
Well, we haven't found no records of that. And believe me, we looked.
Mm-hmm.
This race didn't know if there was. And so, yeah, we looked in that avenue, but we haven't found anything on papers. So, yeah, I mean, we haven't stopped looking because that could be the key factor on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true. You're right. Wow. So, the next time I guess I'll bring you on is when you got me some more good information, huh? I'm trying to get Ms. Royce on television is my next move.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do, too. As
yeah.
a matter of fact, when I contact these people, I told them, they can leave us out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Not about us.
Mm-hmm.
So he rubber stamped as a suicide. Huh?
Wow. Wow. Now, who's the corner again?
Russell Pavich.
Yeah.
Russell Pavich. That name sounds familiar. Is he from here?
Yeah, he's the coroner in St. Andrew Parish. But his main practice is like gastric bypasses and that kind of stuff.
Huh?
Yes.
What?
Yes. When you Google him, he's like his main, medical practice is gastroenterology and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. But why would? But you know, it don't take much to be a coroner. So I mean, you don't.
Well, yeah, I read that. You know, they run for that office. And I mean, I could more or less when I, you know, looked into stuff. You could be a coroner.
I could be a coroner
if nobody is running against you for that position.
That's true. That's right.
They're elected.
Yeah. Yep. You're right.
That's what I'm stating also. I've never done an autopsy from top to bottom, but I believe the way they handle Mr. Merritt, I could have done a better job myself.
I'm sure you could have.
That's funny.
It's pitiful.
It's sad. It's pathetic.
It is sad. It's very sad and pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Harper, you have your hands full. But it's so good to get an update on what's going on. And Royce, thank you for that, for getting in contact with him for me to come on here.
Thank you for having him.
Anytime. So we're on Blog Talk. We're also on TuneIn. And let me tell you what Facebook's been doing. Facebook, I have my camera and everything set up. Facebook knocked me out 4 times already. Okay?
Really?
Yes. Yeah. 4 times since we've been on.
Is it Facebook or the other powers that be?
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Just like when we're on talking and seriously get cut off.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're listening to what we're doing, and especially just my Facebook page, UCN, is very controversial. And so I'm kind of used to it, but it makes it bad for people who are actually, you know, the ones who are not on the phones and they're not on the radio. They're actually looking at us on Facebook. They don't have, they can't, unless they're on the phone with us, they can't, you know, they can't see anything. So, because we have all new equipment. So I know it's not the equipment. And it wasn't doing it before. We've been having little glitches and stuff before we fixed our problem.
The police monitor social media.
Yes, they sure do.
Any podcast that might be done because they want to know what's happening, what's being said, so on.
Yep, that's true. You're right. You're so right about that, Mr. Harper. You are so right.
My thing about the contact I had down there, I told him straight out, it was like, came part of the good old boys club, the rest of them. I wasn't getting no satisfaction. He was pushing me to do this, do that. Well, you know, I done everything he asked 100% the way he told me to do it. No indictments, no death inquest, no grand jury. That's the whole point of getting this person involved. And like I said, I done it their way. Now it's my turn. And people that know me, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. I don't care if Noel personally gets in my face. I will not back down from that son of a bitch whatsoever.
There you go, Mark.
I don't care. I've never been. What I have for shit just like this. I will not keep my mouth shut. Not when I know what I know now.
Yeah. You're right. No need to now. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so no. I wouldn't. not with all the information we have now. They even, they even to listen to y'all and let y'all do what you got to do and arrest who needs to be arrested, move on. But you know what? Down here with the police officers and the law enforcement period here, it is hard. It's hard. And they're so, it's that blue curtain, what they call the blue curtain, that they don't want. He should have been taken out of that spot. And he should have never, ever, he should have been not suspended. He should have been fired for the debacle of the whole investigation. He should have been fired, especially something as serious as that.
That's another thing. After the state police tested the weapon and everything, I think they knew they wasn't going to find anything, but they done it anyway to go through the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And hoping maybe you washed it down. You didn't get everything, but that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they can't even compare the bullet to the murder weapon. They say it's similar, but they haven't gave 100% that gun fired this bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other,
you know, he offered the, remember in the report, Mark, it said he asked her, did she want the gun back? And then that's when he washed it off.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So he washed the gun. Did he give it back to her?
No, she didn't want it. So that's what he said. He washed it off before putting it into evidence.
Oh, my God.
What police officer washes off a gun?
Wow. That is crazy.
Suicide or not, okay, to cover your asses on being law enforcement, that gun should have been booked in evidence as its natural state.
That's right.
Just in case something would happen,
that's right.
Cover their ass.
That's right.
Well, when he done that, their asses ain't covered. They wonder why. Everybody's asking all these damn questions. And if people would see what I had seen, they would. They would wonder, hey, why ain't somebody in jail?
Yep.
Exactly.
Awful case. We know of three people that was involved, possibly four. So why aren't these people in the box and being treated like a suspect?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, the telling sign is giving her two polygraph tests before this was brought to the nation's attention.
Mm-hmm.
National podcast. And that just makes me think, hey, they knew something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't got the evidence. Okay, to me, as an investigator, if they would have came to me and said, look, this is what we have and this is what we need to do, okay, I would have been on board with that. I would have helped them in any way I could. But with them trying to throw everything under the rug, shoddy police work, as I'm saying, it is ridiculous. I mean, there's
very
law enforcement officers of that area. Well, I feel sorry for the people in that area because, to me, some of these people are worse than these cops, if anybody ever watched that. it's comical.
It's crazy.
You don't talk to each other and your reports say different things and contradict yourself. No, when you do a report, you want everything 100% and solid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you do that, yeah, nothing solid. Nothing.
Wow.
Well, it'll come out.
Yes, it definitely will. It's all going to come out. All going to come out. And
well,
I can't wait.
Miss Royce. They don't want me coming down there, and the way it looks, I might have to make a trip down there because I'm not going to back down, and they just think, hey, I'm up here in New York, I can't do nothing. Well, I've done quite a bit so far. Well, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to be, you didn't even have to be down here to do all what you've done.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people that, yeah, it would have took them being on scene, and I would have loved being on scene. I'd love to see them. The house, this, that, and the other, and talk to people firsthand. But And see, here's the good thing about all this. This marriage, friends, extended family has not wavered by what they believe. They do not believe that Mr. Merrick committed suicide. Then once again, psychological assessment was one-sided, slanted to suicide without Ms. Royce even being interviewed. If they would have interviewed her and found out that she was down on the Christmas holidays and everything fine, and then days later her son is dead.
Yeah, that right there would have been impactful. That would have been wake up. Like, wait a minute, hold up. You know, what's
exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. But this is how they do it here. And we gotta change it. We have to be the one to change it.
Well, like I've said for years now, our system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can't protect our own children.
Mm-hmm.
We come up with ideas about how to protect our children. And you got these do-gooder ACL lawyers or whatever they're called saying, oh, you can't do that. That's a violation of privacy, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
The child has no conceived notion of privacy issues because they are a child.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so it's up to the parents, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, our ideas might be extreme, but here's the way it is. They tried cell phones to track their children. Okay, once the children figures out that they're being tracked by a cell phone, they'll leave it at a friend's house and go about their business.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents think, well, they're at so-and-so, when they're really not. Okay, our idea is there's a chip that they put in pets. Our idea to protect our children is have a chip put on it, and then they say, well, that's going to make the homicide rate go up on children. The perpetrator is going to cut out the chip. Da, da, da. Well, you don't announce where you put the chip at, and every child, the chip should be in a different place. That couldn't happen.
Yep. Yep.
And but once again, you have all these people, violating their privacy. No, it's not violating our privacy. It is protecting our children. It is
right.
A way to protect our children and know where they're at. If you have a chip in them, no matter what happens to them, you're going to locate them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get people to understand that. They say that is extreme. Okay, if they do it for a pet, a cat and a dog, now, ain't that extreme for a pet?
Exactly. But can't do it for a human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
It is crazy.
They come up with some stuff. Man.
Like I say, on a lot of podcasts, a lot of my fillers, I use pictures and fillers and everything. I put it right in there. It's open hunting season on our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
You're so right. Well, Mr. Harper, I want to thank you. Ms. Royce, you know I'm forever thanking you to be able to tell your story about your son. And the end result is to get justice. And the end result is for someone to go to jail and so that his spirit can be at rest as well as yours.
Right.
And the family.
Well, believe me, it's going
to
heat up.
Yeah. I believe you. I see how relentless you are.
It's going to heat up just like the mattress they burned up, huh?
Let me see. I have one more question. Do we have any more questions? Yes.
I say heat it up as much as you can. Because they got some no good cops here. Just like they got no good cops everywhere else.
You're so right about that. Mr. Harper, again, I want to thank you for coming on Can We Be Frank show here on the Universal Collective Network. You guys, some of you guys, I apologize for all the glitches. A lot of this was not our fault. We're going to work it. We're going to find out why they kicked us off of Facebook. But we recorded on everything else, so that's not even a problem. So you're going to be able to, if you can't go on here on Facebook and see it, you're going to be able to go to Blog Talk. I put it up on Blog Talk, so you can go to Blog Talk and also hear it on there. So I want to say thank you guys for listening in. Have a great night. Love you. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Hey, Miss Roy.
Uh-huh.
I'll call you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay. All right, you guys over here on TuneIn and on Blog Talk Radio on We Speak News Now. Guys, I want to say thank you for listening in. I am so sorry about all the glitches and the bad things. I don't know what happened, but I want to say thank you guys for listening. You know, you can always go back on Blog Talk and listen to the show again if you want to. You're probably going to hear some back and forth because we were trying to get this thing together. And don't forget Monday, we will be having Keith Beauchamp on. So I've already got that set up for Monday.
There's a hotline.
Yeah, it's a hotline. It's a hotline.
Friction. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They found someone dead on what street?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, you guys. We just
so
found
So, yeah, we're just, yeah, we're.
Wow. We just found some information out, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is.
There's some ongoing investigation. There's no news. It hasn't hit the news yet, apparently locally. However, we're actually waiting on KLAB to broadcast some real news, and I feel it'll be next year before they tell us Obama got elected the first time. So I don't have nothing personal against KLAB. I just, if you call yourself the news, try doing something like the news. Yeah, tell it. That's like Tony Brown showing up to them people thing on